Nabalitaan niyo na ba yung nangyari sa isang Pilipino this week na nagsakay ng dalawang hitchhikers nung madaling araw? Ganito po nangyari. Isang Pinoy na nagtatrabaho sa JLT, nag-overtime, inabot po ng madaling araw ang kanyang trabaho. At nung pauwi na po siya, nagdadrive siya pauwi, papunta ko siyang Sharjah, doon siya nakatira, maluwag ang kalsada. Napansin niya sa side ng road ng Sheikh Zayed ay isang sasakyan na tila bagay namatayan yung makina. At itong dalawang mama na pinapara siya, since wala na may ibang masasakyan, is tinabihin niya yung kanyang sasakyan at tinanong niya kung anong pwede. Nakiusap yung dalawang mama na ito kung pwede sila isabay lamang sa may gasolinahan at doon sila mismo kukuha ng petrol, nawalan ho ng gasolina. Nung sinakay niya yung dalawang mama at habang nagmamaneho siya, nadidinig niya na nag-uusap yung dalawang mama na ito ng sarili nilang lingwahe. Bagamat that did not raise concern sa kanya, what raised concern sa kanya is napapansin niya sa gilid ng kanyang mata, napapansin niya na tingin ng tingin, lingon ng lingon sa kanya yung katabi niyang sasakyan. Nagkaroon nun ng takot ang kanyang nararamdaman at biglang pumasok sa isip niya is kunin yung cellphone na nakalagay sa kanyang console sa sasakyan. Hindi niya pinahalata, dahan-dahan niyang inabot yung cellphone niya sa kanyang console. Pagkapa niya, wala. Wala yung cellphone niya doon. Hindi niya alam ang kanyang gagawin. Nagkaroon siya ng panic. Hinarurot niya yung sasakyan. Bigla niyang pinreno, tinabi. At sinabi niya, cellphone, labas mo! Ilabas yung cellphone. Pagkalabas ng cellphone, labas! Pinalabas siya kagad yung mama na ito sa sasakyan niya. Hinarurot niya yung sasakyan. Nagdudumali, umuwi. Pagdating niya sa bahay, agad-agad niyang kinwento ito sa kanyang may bahay. Habang kinikwento niya na may takot, nakitang-kita niya sa mukha ng kanyang asawa yung takot at panmumutla at panlalaki, lilisik ng kanyang mata. Nung tapos na niyang ikwento ito, biglang nagsalita ang kanyang asawa na nanginginig ang kanyang boses. Sabi niya, honey, naiwan mo yung telepono mo kaninang umaga. Do you know exactly how it feels when someone falsely accuses you? If you have, then this psalm is for you. Psalm chapter 7 ay isang individual lament na isinulat ni David. Kung mapapansin natin yung superscription, yung title na nakasulat po sa taas ng passage, ang nakalagay po ron ay Shigayon. Shigayon ay dalawang beses lang ginamit sa lumang tipan or the whole Bible at matatagpuan yung isa sa Habakkuk chapter 3 na ang pagkakabasa ay Shigionoth. Shigionoth. Na yung dalawang ito ay iibsa ang ibig sabihin. Ang ibig sabihin po nito, it is a psalm or a hymn of distress. Unlike sa mga napag-aralan natin, mga psalm of lament, ang cause ng sorrow or grief ni David sa psalm na ito ay ang patuloy na pagbato ng mga maling akusasyon sa kanya ng kanyang mga kaaway. They falsely accuse him, slander him, and even persecuted him. At ito yung nagbibigay ng bigat sa kanyang damdamin. Itong psalm na ito teaches us how to respond when we are falsely accused, when we are unfairly criticized, or even persecuted because of our faith. Ang goal po natin ngayong hapon na ito, as we go through yung unjust circumstances ng ating buhay, we would learn to prayerfully rely on the righteous judge who judges justly. Because when Christians are unjustly accused, they are to trust the judgment of the righteous judge. When unjustly accused, trust the judgment of the righteous judge. We have three headings para sa passage na ito. Number one, take refuge in God, verses 1 to 5. Number 2, trust in God's righteous judgment, verses 6 to 16. And number 3, thank God for His righteousness, verse 17. Number 1, take refuge in God. Sabi sa verse 1, O Lord, O Lord my God, in You do I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me. Ang immediate response po ni David, nung siya po ay falsely accused ng kanyang mga kaaway, ay hindi hugantihan. Hindi makipagbalitaktakan ng salita, hindi po yun. He immediately took refuge or protection sa Panginoon. Ano ibig sabihin ng refuge? Refuge means going to a place of safety or protection, implying na itong place of refuge na to is a place to be trusted. It is a place to keep one safe. At ito po ang ginawa ni David. He immediately ran to God, trusting the Lord that He will keep him safe. Tignan niyo yung verse 2. Sa verse 2, makikita natin na gumamit ng mga metaphor si David to describe how desperate ang kanyang situation kung hindi siya sasaklolohan ng Panginoon. Basahin po natin. Lest like a lion, they tear my soul apart, rendering it in pieces with none to deliver. David knows about lions. When he was a shepherd boy, he dealt with a lot of lions. He killed many lions. At alam na alam ni David kapag ang isang tupa ay nilundag ng isang lion at hindi niya naligtas, alam niya kung ano ang magiging itsura ng tupa na ito. David talks about being torn apart like a lion. Not physically, but his soul is being torn apart verbally ng kanyang mga kaaway. Have you ever experienced this? Being torn apart ng mga maling akusasyon sa iyo. Inaatake ang karakter mo. Inaatake ang pamilya mo. Minamaliit ang pagkatao mo. Sinisiraan ka at sinasabi na eto ka pero wala namang katotohanan. David is greatly harmed by a man named Cush. We do not know kung sino itong mamang ito, but what we do know is galing siya sa tribe ng Benjamin. Ang tribe po ng Benjamin ay isa sa 12 tribes ng Israel na kung saan itong tribe na ito specifically ay ang tribe ni King Saul. And we know na si King Saul ay yung sinundan ni Haring David. And we also know that King Saul doesn't like David. We know that King Saul was hostile kay David. And so also is Cush, probably a distant relative na ngayon ay sinisiraan si King David. Maring limitado ang ating kaalaman patungkol kay Cush. Ngunit may idea tayo sa mga pinsala na dinulot niya kay Haring David. Tignan po ninyo yung superscription ulit. Sabi dyan, concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. Ngayon, tignan nyo naman yung verse 3. Nung sinabi ni David, if I have done this. Clearly, Cush was accusing David of something that he said and something that he has done. Yun yung accusation. At ang nature naman ng accusation ay makikita sa verse 4. Sabi dyan, if I have repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, yun po yung pinaka nature ng accusation. The word friend na ginamit dyan sa verse 4 came from the root word shalom, which means peace. This is someone who is in peace with David or someone he had made covenant with. Di natin alam kung isang tao o isang tribe. Basta itong grupo na to at mga tao na ito ay may kapayapaan kay David at hindi tinuturing kaaway. Ang accusation na binigay sa kanya ay hindi siya naging tapat sa covenant na yon. Hindi siya naging tapat sa tao na ito. He is not faithful sa friend na to. Hindi lamang yon ang accusation din ang binigay sa kanya. He was also being accused of doing injustice sa kanyang mga kaaway na nasakop na nila. Minamaltrato, ika nga. Of course, alam naman natin na hindi totoo yung mga accusation na yon, mga sabi-sabi lang po yon. David was innocent sa mga paratang ito. He was confident na inosente siya and even made a curse to himself kung totoo man ang sinasabi ng mga tao na ito. Tignan niyo verse 3 to 5. Babasahin natin. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I repaid my friend with evil or plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue my soul and overtake it, and let him trample my life to the ground and lay my glory to dust. Yung po'y sinumpa niya sa sarili niya. Naalala ko nung bata kami kapag hindi kami naniniwala sa isang kaibigan. Hindi, totoo, Pexman! We talked about itong passage na to along with Brother John and yung suggestion na binigay niya, which is very good. Pero this goes beyond Pexman. Tinataya niya ang kanyang pangalan, tinataya niya ang kanyang buhay, at sinasabi niya hindi totoo to. Kung totoo man ito, sabi niya, and now I dakipin ako ng aking kaaway, patayin nila ako at hiyain sa marami. Yun ang sinasabi niya. Now, as we think about praying this part ng psalm, hindi natin kinakailangan na manumpa ng ganito. No? We need to be very careful on how we copy yung mga prayers na to. But there is a couple of things that we can learn sa section na ito ng prayer ni David. Let me give you two sub-points on point number one. First of all, David can pray boldly to God sa kapamamaraanan na to because he is confident of his innocence. Kaya ganun na lang katapang ang panalangin ng mama nito kasi alam niya wala naman siyang ginawa. The key for bold prayers, friends, is clear conscience. The key for bold prayers is a clear conscience. Alala ko nung napaaway ako nung bata ako. Nagkaroon kami ng fist fight ng kalaro ko at alam kong ako mismo ang naghamon sa kanya. And ako mismo nagsimula ng gulo na yon nung nagulpi niya ako at umuwi ako ng bahay. Daddy yung classmate ko, sinumo ko sa daddy ko. Daddy ko, malaki ang daddy ko. Malapad ang daddy ko. 5'10½". Afro yung buhok. Dark skin, talagang kakatakot. Sabi, daddy, samahan mo ako. Yung classmate ko, ginulpi ako, nananahimik ako. And daddy ko, hindi mo basa-basa maluloko yon. And kilala niya ako. At sinabi niya, sige, ganito gawin natin. Punta tayo sa principal mo ngayon din. At sabihin natin kung ano nangyari. Hindi, sige, okay na, nagbati na kami, sabi ko. Okay na ho yun. Bakit? Siya basta-basta maniniwala ng ganun-ganun lang. Why? Kasi ako may kasalanan. Friends, let us not be quick to cry to the Lord for justice kung tayo mismo ang may mali. Trying to ask the Lord, nakampihan tayo na mali naman. Tayo nagsimula. It's hard to pray those type of prayers. Sometimes we believe our lies na tayo mismo yung guilt, tayo yung victim. John Calvin, a known theologian, isa sa mga nag-start ng Reformation, sinabi niya is this, when we turn to God for help, we must first be well assured in our consciences that our cause is righteous, for we err or mistaken if we seek to engage the Lord as our advocate and defender when we ourselves are in the wrong. End quote. Make sure na tama ho yung konsensya natin. Alam natin na tayo walang ginawang mali. Second, Christians, and listen to this mga kapatid, Christians should expect that they will be falsely accused and persecuted. Tanggapin na ho natin yun. Kung ikaw ay tapat na naglalakad sa Panginoon, you are a faithful, genuine believer in Christ, expect na ikaw ay you will receive false accusations. Again, itong katuruan na ito sa Biblia ay hindi sikat sa panahon natin ngayon. Ito yung mga ayaw ituro sa mga karamihan ng mga pulpito sa panahon natin. Dahil ang paniniwala ng karamihan ng mga mangangaral na kapag ikaw ay Christian, hindi ka makakaranas ng paghihirap. Di totoo yan, Pastor. Paghihirap o persekusyon, pag Christian ka, dapat amen lagi sa Panginoon. At kung ikaw ay naglalakad ng tapat, Pastor, umaapaw ang pagpapala. Siksik, liglig, umaapaw. Yun ang tunay na Kristiyano, Pastor. Hindi ka makakatikim ng paghihirap. Mali po yun. Wala ho sa Biblia yon. Dahil ang mga tunay na anak ng Diyos will inevitably suffer for being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. It's not that you look for suffering, it will come. It will come. This is not unusual sa mga anak ng Diyos sa luma at bagong tipan. Sa Old Testament, makikita natin yung mga Old Testament saints like Daniel. Daniel, who was falsely accused of rebellion against the king, as a result, he was thrown in the lion's den. Daniel chapter 6. Ganun din si Joseph. Si Joseph was falsely accused for raping yung asawa ni Potiphar. Ano nangyari? Tinapon din sa presinto. Nasa Genesis chapter 39. Hindi lamang sa Old Testament, meron din sa New Testament. They were falsely accused, and this was also yung teaching niyan. Si Stephen, we know Stephen. Stephen preached the gospel boldly. He was accused for blasphemy, and he was stoned to death. Nasa Acts chapter 6 to 8. Paul and Silas were falsely accused for causing problems sa city because they were sharing the gospel. Ano nangyari ho yun? Sila po ay ginulpe. Acts chapter 16. We know that Jesus was also accused and persecuted when he said that he is the way. And we know that sa Mark chapter 14 at sa marami pang mga verses. If the Old Testament, if the New Testament saints, including si Jesus Christ, receive false accusations, then you, my friend, will receive false accusations. Huwag na ho tayo mabigla. Huwag na tayo magulat. Back when I was pastoring sa Philippines, I did my usual Saturday morning rounds ng visitation. And may isa ako sa mga binisita roon, ay isang nanay na in-invite ako, eh kasi gusto nila pa-counsel yung anak nilang lalaki. So yung hinaharap na problema ng kanilang anak na lalaki is he's struggling with same-sex attraction. Sa kalagitnaan ng conversation namin, I lovingly pointed from Scripture na mali yung relasyon niya sa boyfriend niya. And immediately, nag-react siya. Sabi niya, Pastor, hindi. Hindi totoo. Sabi ko, alin ang hindi totoo? Hindi, nasa Bible, Pastor. And he's trying to look for some passage na hindi niya roon matanda, hindi niya ma-quote. Pero ano ba yung sinasabi sa Bible na naalala mo? Sabi sa Bible na dapat Christian, di ba? Kaya Christian naman ang boyfriend ko. He's thinking about 2 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians 7, but that is between one male and one female. After a series of awkward conversations, I prayed for him and then I left home. I left pa-uwi. The following day, Sunday, hindi siya sumama sa church. Nakausap ko yung nanay niya. And sinabi niya, Pastor, I think he was not happy nung kinausap mo siya. He said, you were self-righteous, you're a bigot or intolerant, and unloving. Friends, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, you will receive false accusations, unfair comments, harsh critics, and will be the center of people's gossips, mockeries, jokes, and memes. Maybe you're here today and you are hurting. You are hurting because you decided not to pursue a relationship dahil hindi Kristiyano yung lalaki o yung babae na yon. And because of that, you were accused of being a fool or a religious fanatic. Or maybe you're here today and you are accused sa opisina ninyo na walang pakisama dahil ilang beses mo tinanggihan ang mga lakad ng mga kaopisinahan mo at ng boss mo dahil you refuse na makisama. At dahil dyan, everyday ka nakakaramdam ng pangkakantsaw. Hinahamon ang iyong pagkalalaki. Or maybe you've been accused ng isa sa mga, as a martyr. Martyr ka raw. Martyr ka raw, sabi ng mga kaibigan mo, because you chose to devote your time and attention in serving your family well as a full-time mother and a wife. O maaaring ikaw lang ang Kristiyano sa opisina mo. Ikaw lang ang tanda-tanging Kristiyano sa pamilya mo. Ikaw lang ang Kristiyano sa mga classmates mo. You're the only Christian in your peer group of friends. And you were accused of being betraying the family, self-righteous, hypocrite, fool. That is not new. That is nearly normal Christian life. Friends, if this is you, don't retaliate. Huwag tayong gumante. Don't be surprised. This is to be expected sa mga true followers ni Jesus Christ. I am preparing us to suffer. Kung hindi pa ho natin na-experience, wait for it, it will come. As followers of Christ, we take refuge in God alone sa mga sitwasyon na ganito. Not only did David take refuge in God sa mga false accusations sa kanya, he did not take justice into his own hands, but instead, number two, he trusted in God's righteous judgment. Trust in God's righteous judgment. Verse 6, "Arise, O Lord, in your anger, lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me." He used metaphors na naman dito. Remember, we're dealing with a psalm, so marami yung mga metaphoric language. It's poetry na kailangan hindi natin kunin minsan to literally, depending on its structure or context. Pero sa verse 6, nung sinabi niyang, "Arise, O Lord," this echoes Numbers chapter 10. When si Moses, he used this very language. Tuwing nilalabas nila yung Ark of the Covenant, ang ginagawa, kasi pag nilalabas ng mga Israelites, ang Ark of the Covenant, it is a symbol of the covenant ng Panginoon sa kanyang mga anak. At kapag lumalabas po yan, nagmamarcha sila, ito ang sinasabi, madalas ang sinasabi po ni Moses, magsasalita siya ng mga bagay na the speak of destruction against sa kanyang mga kaaway. Ito isa sa mga sinasabi niya, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered." Yun yung madalas na gamitin yung word na, "Arise, O Lord." So David is using this term in a similar way. He's using it in a right way. Now since the enemies of God are opposing God's anointing king, Shayon, then technically, they are enemies of God. Then he would say, verse 6, "Awake for me." Another language na medyo parang tulog tapos gumising ka. Hindi po ibig sabihin nito sa verse 6 na natutulog ang Diyos. Kaya wag na natin tanungin, wag na natin kantahin, kasi hindi natutulog ang Diyos. When David prays this, he is using an imagery for the readers at saka mga singers na mga simple language upang maunawaan nila. So what is he saying dito? What he is saying, na dahil nga sa paghihirap niya, it feels that God is sleeping. I think that's true, no? Kapag tayo ay in pain, and we feel like yung tulong o yung saklolo ay matagal kapag hindi tayo nabibigyan ng ease sa ating pain. I think that's what he is saying dito. He's expressing yung kanyang nararamdaman. But notice how David prays towards the end of verse 6. Tingnan niyo yung bandang wakas ng verse 6. "You have appointed a judge." You have appointed a judgment. So ano po ang matututunan natin sa prayer ni David dito? Because I want us to pray this psalm. Pansinin natin na David, sa verse 6 na to, only prays to what is according to the appointment of God. So ano sinasabi ko dito? David only prays kung ano yung kalooban lang ng Panginoon. Mga kaibigan, kapag tayo ba ay nananalangin, ang ating mga kahilingan po ba ay nakaayon sa banal na kalooban ng Panginoon? Sabi sa John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." According sa will ng Panginoon. Friends, what have you been praying for lately? Would you confidently say that your requests are in accordance sa kalooban ng Panginoon? Alam niyo po, kadalasan kapag tayo ay nasasaktan, may tendency po tayong magkasala sa ating mga panalangin. may tendency po tayo magkasala sa ating mga prayer requests. We start to pray prayers that are selfish and ungodly para lamang maibsan ang sakit ng ating nararamdaman. And sadly, minsan alam natin na mali yun, pero we still pray away. I remember counseling a young mother sa Pilipinas na kung saan natuklasan niya na yung asawa niya ay nangangalun niya. Kwento niya sa akin, nung kinumpronta niya ang kanyang mister at nanakot, tinakot siya ng kanyang mister, nahihiwalayan niya na siya at sasama sa babae, natakot yung babae, natakot yung nanay na ito. And what's interesting is yung sinabi niya kung ano yung pinagpe-pray na niya sa Panginoon after that conversation. This is what she said, that she was praying na hindi matuloy ang hiwalayan at papayag na lang siya magkaroon ng kalaguyo ang kanyang mister. Huwag lang siya iwanan. It's really sad. Friends, when you are wronged, do you pray that the Lord's will be done? Or do you pray that your will be done? Sometimes we pray sinful prayers, compromising prayers, just to get what we want. David only prays what is according to the divine will of God, even when he is wronged. Why? Because he trusts in God's righteous judgment. He's trusting in God's righteousness. Tingnan ulit natin ang verses 6 to 8. Tingnan yung verse 6. You have appointed a judgment. Verse 7, let the assembly of the people be gathered about you. Over it return on high. The Lord judges people. Now, kung papansinin nyo yung verses 6 to 7, David gives us a picture ng isang higanteng courtroom na kung saan si Yahweh yung pinakahukom or judge. Ang mga tao na nakatipon po dito ay hindi lamang mga Israelita. Mga tao na ito, pag sinabing peoples sa Bible, pag nabasa nyo yung peoples, hindi ho lang wrong grammar yun. It means people of different nations. So, yung court, isang higanteng courtroom na yon ay nakapalibot dun mga tao from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Okay? So, nakatipon ho lahat yun. At mga iba't ibang lahi. And God, sinasabi ni David dito, the Lord judges all these peoples. I was trying to understand kung ano ibig sabihin ito. And it just came to me, na could it be that in a prophetic way, David echoes yung great judgment to come, yung great judgment ng Panginoon, as he contemplates yung kanyang situation, as he feels yung injustices na binibigay sa kanya, he contemplates on that great day where God will make things right. Verse 8, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. Ah, teka muna. Yan ba'y kailangan natin ipag-pray? Parang delikado ata ito, Pastor. Ah. Kailangan mo natin ipray. Yan yung sinasabi ni David, my righteousness? Now let me clarify this. Yung righteousness po dito does not mean that he is declaring that he is sinless. Hindi po yun ang ibig sabihin nun. This is once again an appeal to God na he is innocent. At wala siyang kinalaman, walang katotohanan yung mga inaakusa sa kanya. He is praying for justice because he knows that God is a righteous judge. Pero hindi po naiinto ang panalangin ulit ni David dito. Tingnan niyo yung verse 9. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, and may you establish the righteous, you who test the minds and hearts, oh righteous God. What is he praying dito? Well, David is not only interested sa kanyang personal justice, he's also praying for the justice of all. Sa lahat ng kasamaan na nangyayari sa panahon niya. Have you opened your TV lately sa balita? Have you checked yung mga world news lately sa inyong smartphone? Ano napapansin po ninyo? Gaanong karami mga tao ang pinapaslang araw-araw dahil sa krimen? Gaanong karaming mga tao, gaanong karami ang mga bata at babae ang dinadakip araw-araw para ibenta for prostitution? Gaano karaming mga babae ang nangre-rape kada araw? Gaano kalalim ang korupsyon na nangyayari sa loob ng mga institusyon, pribado man ito o gobyerno? Friends, I think we should join David sa prayer na to. We should pray that the Lord would end all violence of the wicked. When was the last time you start praying for your land, for the UAE, for the Philippines? That's why here in Crossroads, we try to make an effort to every Friday regularly pray for our land, pray for our rulers. I think we should. The Lord cares for the fatherless, mga kapatid. The Lord cares for the widows. The Lord cares for the poor. David knew that God hates falsehood and loves the truth. Ayan muna, Pastor. So sinasabi mo, God cares for the poor, God cares for the fatherless. Pero Pastor, kung tunay nga na concern ng Panginoon sa truth and justice sa mundo, eh bakit meron pa ding mga injustices? Bakit meron pa ring krimen? Bakit pa rin ultimo si David dito ay nakakaranas ng mga accusations na mali? Akala ko ba, God cares? Eh bakit meron pa rin hanggang ngayon? Mga kaibigan, there's a lot of ways to answer that question. Pero yung involvement ng Panginoon dito sa mundo ay hindi nangangahulugan that there will be justice for all sa panahon na ito at sa mundo na ito. Let me answer this at least in two ways. Unang-una, God restrains evil and holds back injustices in this world. That's one of the ways na kumikilos ang Panginoon against evil. He restrains evil and holds back injustices sa mundo na ito. Naalala ko yung kapatid kong lalaki, yung bunso namin, nagtrabaho siya sa Libya for a time. At nung time na nagtatrabaho siya sa Libya, yun yung nagkaroon ng problema si Gaddafi. Nung bumagsak ang gobyerno ni Gaddafi, ang nangyari po ron is, immediately yung effect nito ay walang batas ang kanilang land. Which means lahat ng krimen ay lumabas. Kasi walang pulis, walang gobyerno, wala lahat. Ang kapatid ko, nagtatago siya sa ilalim ng kanilang higaan dahil pinapasok sila ng mga rebelde, ninanakaw lahat ng gamit, at kung meron man pumalag, ay pinapuputukan. Kasi wala na yung restrictions. Friends, it is God's kindness to us. Ang tawag dito ay common grace sa atin that the Lord has restricted evil sa panahon natin ngayon. Paano? Through the law, through the government. And you can look through Romans chapter 13 po dyan. The reason why na hindi mo sinaksak yung katabi mo ngayon, kahit galit na galit ka, it's because God is restricting you. God speaks through the conscience. God speaks the law of the land. Ginagamit yan. God uses the government, authority. That's why restriction. Just imagine kung wala yung restrictions. Lalabas ang tunay na tayo. Kasamaan. Just imagine, friends, yung mga tao na nasa impyerno ngayon. No more restrictions. Kaya hindi po totoo na kapag nasa impyerno magsisisi sa kasalanan. Hindi. You know what weeping and gnashing of teeth means? Nagngingit-ngit sa galit. Gnashing of teeth. No one will repent kasi wala na yung restrictions. Lumabas na ang tunay na makasalanan. Romans 8:28. Kindness ng Panginoon. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. We know this verse. Madalas natin ginagamit ito, Maral. God says, all things work together for good. Kahit may suliranin, kahit tayo inaatake, all things work together for good. God did not say, all things are good. All things work together in accordance sa plano niya. Even injustices dito sa mundo na ito, God uses it for good. Maaring hindi natin naintindihan yung karamdaman na ito, dumapo sa atin. Hindi natin nauunawa na bakit nagganto, nagkawasak-wasak ang pamilya namin. Hindi ko maintindihan kung bakit wala akong trabaho ngayon. Hindi ko alam kung bakit hindi ko mabayaran itong tao na ito. Hindi ko alam kung bakit hindi ko maintindihan sarili ko. You have those moments and you maintindihan sarili niya. You feel wretched. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Joseph said this to his brothers na binenta siya nung Egypt years ago. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God will protect and persevere His children in the midst of trying situations. We see that's a verse 10. My shield is with God, sabi ni David, who saves the upright in heart. So yun yung first sub-point natin. He restrains evil and holds back justice. Second, He will one day end all evil. He will one day end all evil. He will judge all the wicked. Verse 11, God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. Galit ang Diyos araw-araw sa kasalanan, sa mga makakasalanan. God has appointed a day that He will make things right and will punish the wicked. Yan ang hope natin ng mga Christians. There will be a final judgment, both of the wicked and the righteous. It was mentioned in sa passage na ito. That's the hope that we have because when God comes to judge, He will make things right sa lahat ng wrong na nadala, nabigay sa ating buhay. Sa lahat ng wrong na ibinigay natin, dinulot natin sa buhay ng iba. In verse 12 to 13, sinabi, David uses horrifying images of God. God who is angry. God who is the righteous judge. Sino mo sinabi dyan? Sharpening the sword and pointing his arrow against the wicked. He's using those imageries na kung saan ang sinasabi niya na galit ang Panginoon and he's ready to judge. Friends, if you are here today and you have been mistreated by evil, and you feel that justice is not served well, or you feel that there's no justice at all, take heart. God will judge the wicked, and His judgment is righteous. Verse 14 to 16, He gives another imagery dito on how hopelessly evil ang mga tao. Pinakita niya kung gaano kasama talaga ang tao. Man is pregnant with evil, gives birth to lies. Napaka-graphic ang sinasabi niya rito. Verse 15 to 16 tells us that lahat ng kanilang masasamang balakin ay baliwala. Kung gaano man sila kasama at masama yung kanilang balakin sa mga anak ng Diyos, lahat yan ay magba-backfire. Yun ang sinasabi niya sa verse 15 to 16. Friends, for those of us who are being mistreated by evil people ngayong oras na ito, at nakikita natin na kahit sobrang sama ng kanilang ginagawa, ay tila baga mas nabibigyan sila ng parangal. Mas nagiging matagumpay sila kahit yun ang ginagawa. Mas nagiging malawak ang impluensya. Mas nabibigyan ng pabor. Mas yumayaman. Mas sumasagana. Ano to? Ang sama ng taong to. Bakit ganon? And we start to ask the question, why Lord? To the point na kinaiinggitan na natin. Ano na pumapasok sa isipan natin? Ito na. Ito na pumapasok. Bakit hindi na lang natin sila gayahin? Kung ganyan na rin ang nangyayari. Bakit hindi na lang natin gantihan? Bakit hindi na lang natin sabayan para mabigyan naman ako ng parangal, ng matagumpay na buhay at masaganang buhay? Total, wala naman nangyayari sa matitino, di ba? Mga kaibigan, huwag po nating kainggitan ang mga nakukuha ng mga masasamang tao na ito, bunga ng kanilang kasamaan. Huwag natin sila kainggitan, dapat natin sila kaawaan. Bakit po? Kasi sa verse 12. Dahil kung hindi sila magsisisi sa kanilang kasalanan, ang galit ng Diyos ay mananatili sa kanila. One day, lahat ng mga nakikita niyo, mga masasama na parang okay lang, sarap ng buhay nila, that will have an end. We know that. If you have reached the age of 50, 60, 70, you know na nararamdaman mo na it's not the same na malakas tayo. I'm 40 at nararamdaman ko na hindi talaga pareho ng 20. Mga kaibigan, as we think about the false accusations and injustices na ginawa sa atin, have we accused anyone falsely? Sometimes we feel like, oh, pastor, kawawa naman ako. Pastor. Yes, 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 that can be true. But have you ever thought na ikaw rin ay nambiktima ng false accusation? Na ikaw rin ay nanchismis? Na ikaw rin ay may ginawang injustice towards other people? Have you ever thought about that? Minsan galit na galit tayo sa mga tao. But the question is, ikaw rin ba ay isa sa kanila? The truth is, all of us had slandered and gossiped someone to make us look good. We maximize their faults in exaggeration to minimize our own rebellion. We are the lion that enjoys tearing apart other people's soul by accusing them falsely for revenge or self-preservation. We are the wicked people who are filled with mischief, lies, full of violence. Tayo yun. God tests our minds and hearts. At alam mo kung ano nakikita niya? Wickedness. Unrighteousness. We deserve to be judged by the righteous judge because we are evil. Wala ni isa sa atin ang makakapagsabi ng sinabi ni David sa verse 8. Ano man sinabi ni David sa verse 8? O Lord, judge me according to my righteousness. Bakit hindi natin kaya sabihin yon? Maski si David, kung ang ibig sabihin niya ron is, wala siyang kasalanan, hindi niya kaya sabihin ng ganun yon. Because wala ni isang matuwid. Wala ni isa. No one is righteous. No, not one. We cannot be sinless. We cannot be righteous. No one. However, there is only one. Only one man who can say that he is righteous. Because he is truly the righteous man. He is truly the innocent one. Ang pangalan niya ay si Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only man who truly lived a sinless life. He is the only one who truly cares about the Father's holiness. He is the only one who fully, truly cares for those who are falsely accused. Isang gabi, this sinless, righteous man was repaid evil by his friend. He was betrayed. He was accused falsely and was judged unjustly. He was nailed on the cross for the sins of the wicked people who persecuted him. He bore the sins of many. And on that cross, God, the righteous judge, had poured his wrath sa kanya. He did not hold back. Binuhos niya ang galit niya sa anak for the sins of many. He died. He died. The wages of sin is death. But because he is righteous, he is innocent. On the third day, he has risen from the dead. He has risen from the dead. He has risen. Binasa kanina ni John, yung Acts chapter 17, verse 31. And let me read it again. Because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world, this is God, in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The Jesus who saved us will come back one day, but he is not the gentle Savior. He will be the dreadful judge. Friends, let me give you a warning as per verse 12. Sabi dyan, if a man does not repent, God will wheat his sword and he is going to bend and ready his bow. hahasain na niya ang kanyang sword at ihahanda na niya ang panak, which is a picture of judgment. If you continue in your sin, God's judgment and anger will fall on you. The Bible says, repent and believe. When David received false accusations and persecution, he prayed. He prayed and took refuge in God. He prayed and trusted God's righteousness. Number three and last, he prayed and thanked God for His righteousness. Nagpasalamat at nagpuri siya sa Panginoon. Verse 17, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord, the Most High. He praised and thanked God for God's righteousness. Righteousness that is yet to be seen. By faith, he is trusting God. Ito naman ang design ng mga deliverance ng Panginoon. Kapag may pinagdadaanan tayong paghihirap, ito yung design niyan, that we may render to Him a sacrifice of praise. The reason why we can give thanks and praises to God, because He has wholeheartedly trusted in God's righteousness. Yan si David. He can wholeheartedly trust God because he praised God because he trusted God. And if you're here today and you are receiving unjust accusations and you are a child of God, there is hope. There is hope. You must continue trusting the Lord and praising the Lord, because wholeheartedly you should trust His righteousness, because He will come one day and will judge the world. Friends, we also can rejoice in God's righteousness. Bakit kamo? Because we have the assurance of the righteousness of Christ. Tayo lang mga Kristiyano ang meron nun. Because when Christians are unjustly accused, we should trust the judgment of the righteous judge. We should trust the just judge and not ourselves. Let us pray. Salamat, Panginoon. Salamat, Panginoon, at hindi niyo pinanatili kami sa aming mga kasalanan. Mahal namin, hindi mahal, iniibig namin ang aming mga kasalanan, iniibig namin yung dati naming buhay. Kung hindi po kayo ang pumili sa amin, kung hindi po kayo nagligtas sa amin, kami po ay marahil mananatili yung galit ninyo sa amin. As we ended our sermon with thanks and praises, Lord, we thank You. We praise You for giving us salvation through Jesus Christ. I pray for my brothers and sisters who are enduring pain because of false accusations. I pray that they would put their hope and trust in You, that You will be their refuge, that they will put their hopes in the righteous judge. And through pain, I pray that You would lead them to praise. Salamat, Panginoon, sa oras na ito. Sa inyong anak kami ay nananalangin. Sa pangalan ng Panginoong Jesus. Amen.